In this lecture, we're going to look at aggregates levy, or AL for short, yet another indirect tax controlled by customs. It was introduced in the Finance Act 2001 and took effect from the 1st of April 2002. You'll find all the relevant legislation you need in the Tolly Orange book. As well as the Finance Act 2001, two other important pieces of legislation contain details regarding registration and returns. These are Statutory Instruments 4027 of 2001 and 761 of 2002. Let's have a look at what aggregates levy is charged on. It is charged on the commercial exploitation of taxable aggregate. You can see this in Section 16 of the Finance Act. It was introduced as an environmental tax to encourage the recycling of second-hand materials, as opposed to the purchase of new aggregate excavated from the countryside. But who is the levy charged on? The levy is charged on the person who subjects the aggregate to commercial exploitation. It is only charged once on the aggregate, i.e., when it is first subject to commercial exploitation. The person liable to pay it must register for aggregates levy. We will cover the registration rules in a minute. The rate is £2 per ton, which is prorated for part tons. This is set to rise to £2.10 per ton from the 1st of April 2011. Already it's time for a quick example. If 3.5 tons of aggregate is commercially exploited, what amount of aggregates levy will be due? Complete the box on the screen with the amount you think is due to the nearest pence. When you are done, press enter. So, how did you do? The correct answer is £7. If we multiply 3.5 times the rate of the levy, which is £2, this gives us £7. Now we know what aggregates levy is charged on, we need to define what aggregates covers. It is defined in Section 17 of the Finance Act as rock, gravel, or sand, together with substances that are incorporated or naturally occur mixed with them. All commercial exploitations of aggregate are subject to the levy unless they fall within one of the exemptions provided for in the legislation. Like with most taxes we've covered so far, there are a number of exemptions that are contained in the legislation. The exemptions are contained in Section 17, subsection 3, and include the following. Aggregate that has previously been used for construction purposes. Aggregate removed from the ground on a building site in the course of lawful excavations in connection with the erection or modification of the building and exclusively for the purpose of laying foundations, pipe or cable. In the East Midlands Aggregates High Court case, the removal of all the rock from the site of a warehouse and lorry park was held to fall within the exemption as the lorry park was within the site of the building. At the end of this lecture, see also the Pat Munro case, which tried to argue this exemption but failed. Aggregate removed by dredging from a river, canal, watercourse, channel, approach to a port or harbour, the purpose of which is to create, restore, improve or maintain the said water. The word watercourse has been defined in a recent tribunal case. The decision in Humberside Aggregates and Excavations Limited and the Commissioners of Customs and Excise confirmed that a watercourse means the water must flow under gravity into another watercourse. Therefore, a lake does not generally constitute a watercourse. Aggregate excavated from the ground along a highway or proposed highway for the purpose of improving, maintaining or constructing the highway. Aggregate consisting wholly or mainly of coal, lignite, slate, shale, clay, soil, vegetable or other organic matter, and by wholly or mainly we mean more than 50%. Aggregate consisting wholly of the spoil from any process by which coal, lignite, slate or shale or a substance listed in Section 18(3) has been separated from other rock after being extracted or one with that other rock. So, basically, this exemption says that if the extraction of the aggregate is not the main purpose, i.e. the aggregate is effectively a byproduct of the extraction of the other product, then the aggregate is exempt. One of the substances listed in Section 18(3) is fluorspar. This has been the subject of a recent High Court case. In MMC Midlands Limited, the appellant was extracting fluorspar and also limestone, which it contended came within the exemption above, as being the spoil from the process of winning the fluorspar. The High Court concurred with the decision of the tribunal and dismissed the appeal by MMC. The tribunal felt that in reality the appellant was in truth carrying on a business of limestone quarrying and that the extraction of fluorspar was merely incidental. This was decided partly because of the amount of limestone sold compared with the much smaller volumes of fluorspar sold. However, that would not be decisive in deciding whether the exemption applied. The legislation did not say anything about looking at the volume of aggregate to the volume of mineral. What they had to decide was whether the wording of the legislation was satisfied. It talks about the separation of the substance from rock. The tribunal felt that the wording meant physical separation from each other and not merely sorting, for example, by an excavator. And that in their view the limestone could not be regarded as spoil. It's interesting to note that in this case the tribunal felt that the appellant had a reasonable excuse for not registering and therefore the penalties were quashed. They had told HMRC of their intended operations before they began, but heard nothing more until much later when HMRC decided that they should be registered, and given the genuine dispute about the correct interpretation of the law, these all amounted to a reasonable excuse. The Finance Act 2007 introduced a further exemption. Aggregate removed from the ground along the line or proposed line of any railway, tramway or monorail for the purposes of improving, maintaining or constructing it is exempt. Note that this is not a definitive list, but a taster of the exemptions. Look through section 17 of the legislation to see all the exemptions that apply. An important point to note is that once the aggregate is covered by one of the exemptions, it will never have the levy charged on it ever again. So, if it has previously been used for construction purposes, then you could sell it on to someone else free of the levy. They in turn could sell it on to someone else also free of the levy. We said that aggregate's levy is charged on the commercial exploitation of taxable aggregate. We have already looked at what taxable aggregate means. Now we need to see what commercial exploitation covers. Commercial exploitation is defined in the legislation in section 19 of the Finance Act. Exploitation means that the aggregate has been removed from a specified site, sold to a person, is used for construction purposes or is mixed with materials or substances other than water. For example, commercial exploitation would cover aggregate that is mined from a quarry and sold to a construction company that is building a road, or where it is sold to a person to make concrete. The specified sites referred to are 1. The aggregate's originating site, 2. A connected site which is registered under the same name as the originating site, or 3. Sites other than those already mentioned where the aggregate was removed for the purpose of having an exempt process applied to it, but which hasn't been applied. Commercial is defined and requires a number of conditions to be satisfied. These are that it is sold in the course of a business. It is not sold between registered sites, where both sites are registered under the name of the same person. It is not removed to a registered site to be applied to an exempt process. It is not to be used for the purpose of having china clay or ball clay extracted from it. And it is not used to become part of the land at the site from which it was extracted. Therefore, aggregate that is removed from a site to be applied to an exempt process is used for the purposes of having china clay or ball clay extracted from it, or is used to become part of the land at the site from which it was extracted, is not commercially exploited. We can have a look at one of these points in a bit more detail as it arose in a tribunal case. You'll find a separate lecture on all the details of this case at the end of this current one. To give you a summary now though, here is what happened. The case concerned a contractor that was constructing a hydroelectric power station for Scottish and Southern Electricity. A dam had to be constructed from over 1 million tons of rock which had been removed from a quarry site approximately 100 metres away. Other than crushing and screening, the rock was not subjected to any other process in making the dam. Customs compulsory registered the appellant for aggregates levy and raised an assessment for over £1.6 million. The appellant argued that the rock was not commercially exploited as it became part of the land at the site from which it was won. The tribunal found in favour of the appellant, stating the following. 1. That land was not defined in the relevant legislation, and therefore looking at the Interpretation Act of 1978, land includes buildings and structures. Therefore the dam was included in the word land. Secondly, the word site was not limited to the immediate footprint of the quarry. They cited the East Midlands Aggregates case, which we mentioned earlier in this lecture. The footprint of the dam and that of the quarry were not different sites. The tribunal also noted that customs have the power in the legislation to set the boundaries of a site. 3. Finally, even if it was not covered by this get-out in the legislation, a tax credit for the levy would be available as the aggregate was used in a prescribed industrial process, the production of energy. You'll come across tax credits a little later in this lecture. At the moment, we only have the decision of the tribunal. Given the amount of money at stake, it wouldn't be surprising if an appeal ensues. We mentioned above that commercial exploitation did not include aggregate that was to be removed to a registered site to be applied to an exempt process. We therefore need to know what processes are exempt. Exempt processes are listed in Section 18. They include the following: the cutting of any rock to produce stone with one or more flat surfaces, any process by which a relevant substance is extracted or otherwise separated from any aggregate, any process for the production of lime or cement from limestone or from limestone and anything else. The second process referred to relevant substances. These include ball clay, china clay, fuller's earth, potash, sodium chloride, and talc. Note again, this is not a definitive list. Take a look at Section 18 for the full list of relevant substances. We've already mentioned that aggregates levy is charged at the rate of £2 per tonne. Therefore, as it is charged on the weight of the aggregate, are there any rules on ascertaining the weight? The Aggregates Levy General Regulations of 2002 provide the rules for determining the weight of the aggregate. The weight is determined by a weighbridge at the site where the commercial exploitation occurs. The regulations provide that any terms and conditions attaching to the weighbridge are to be stipulated in a public notice. The relevant public notice is AGL1. This provides that weighbridges must comply with weights and measures legislation, and weighbridge tickets must be kept as they will be used in the aggregates levy account. We'll cover this in a minute. If a weighbridge is not practical, or there is no weighbridge, the weight can be determined in accordance with a method approved by customs. Approval will be in writing and include any terms and conditions as customs see fit. If the method is not applied correctly or produces an inaccurate result, customs can withdraw the approved method. Customs can also prescribe a method to be used. If a person has mixed loads, for example, taxable aggregate with recycled materials and non-taxable aggregate, they will need to agree a special method with customs. Water which is added to the aggregate after it has been excavated can be discounted from the weight. Customs approval is needed. Either a special method needs to be agreed with customs as to how it will be discounted, or standard percentages can be used. The percentages are 7% for washed sand, 3.5% for washed gravel, and 4% for washed rock or aggregate. We'll now take a look at registering for the purposes of aggregates levy. A person that carries out taxable activities, who is not exempt from registration, is required to register for the purposes of aggregates levy. Taxable activities are defined as subjecting aggregate to commercial exploitation. In simple English, this means that where a person is liable to pay aggregates levy, he needs to register with customs. There is no threshold, unlike VAT. Where a person is required to be registered, or has formed the intention to carry out taxable activities, he must notify customs on Form AL1 within 30 days. Site details must be notified on Form AL1A. Other forms need to be completed, and public notice AGL1 gives the details. Customs will register him from day 1, i.e. when the requirement to register arose. They will send a certificate of registration to the person. Where a person carries out commercial exploitation that is exempt, remember we covered the exemptions above, registration is not required. However, customs still require notification for activities that are listed in Regulation 3.3, which are reiterated in Section 9.2.2 of the public notice. From the 1st of April 2010, the new single penalty regime takes effect. Go back to the IPT lecture for Chapter 26 for a reminder of the changes it will make. Penalties are not imposed where the person satisfies customs that he has a reasonable excuse or has been convicted of a criminal offence. Reasonable excuse was discussed in the tribunal case of Humberside Aggregates and Excavation Limited and the Commissioners of Customs and Excise.
release date 9th of December 2004. Customs had imposed a 5% penalty on the appellant for understating aggregates levy due. The tribunal quashed the penalty because the steps taken by the appellant would have been perfectly legal had the legislation in the 2001 Finance Act not been amended retrospectively. In addition, Public Notice AGL1 continued to provide taxpayers with incorrect information once the legislation had been enacted.
Customs can cancel someone's registration where they have ceased to carry out taxable activities and no longer intend to carry them out. If the person themselves ceases to carry out taxable activities, they need to notify Customs within 30 days. If a person's particulars change, they need to notify the change to Customs within 30 days.